this morning, specifically as we've done others here today. As Pastor went to Philippians to verify scripturally what we had sung, it brought something to my mind, and this is not my message, but I'll go to 1 Timothy with me. And as you're turning there, this is the first time I've had opportunity to formally thank our church family. I got sick a little while ago for about a month and a half, and our church is just wonderful. And food and prayers and cards and just people stopping by, and I had to stop them at the door because of being infectious for a while. But I just formally now want to thank you. I actually had one of our ladies. She made us some food that she knows that Deb and I enjoy. But she also baked. There's little things in life. There's part of getting older. I know some of you are older than 63, but I'm catching up to you rapidly. There's a lot of it that I don't like. I just don't like it. But there's part of it that I'm finally getting my heart right, maybe. Getting my mind right. And I find myself appreciating the very, very small things of life. It's the small things that overwhelm me anymore. This lady had, one of our sweet young moms, she had baked me some square cookies. And she put them in a special little box. I think it looks like an oven or something. And it took her a lot of time. But when Deb and I opened the box, she had taken some of the things that I just say a lot. Like, rise up one more time. Like an old hymn, hide thou me. And there was about six different things. And I told Debbie, I'm not eating those cookies. We're going to put them somewhere and preserve them. And I'm going to hang them on my wall somewhere. And if I get hungry, I may eat one. But you want to know something? That meant, and she's probably not here this morning, but yes, she is. I just made eye contact with her. And I'm going to call her by her name. Stephanie Spinelli. I want to thank you, dear. You made this old man's day. I stood there and looked at those cookies and wept like a child because somebody had been listening. Little things, sweetie. Don't ever overlook the little things. You're an encouragement, as you all are. But thank you so much. Pastor had gone to Philippians. I've got you in 1 Timothy. And somebody would say, oh, I don't believe Jesus Christ. People are just wackos, religious idiots. I mean, you've run into people, they don't believe Jesus Christ is God. Some people don't believe Jesus Christ even existed. There's a verse. I just like the way the Bible says things. God says things. And in 1 Timothy, this is not my message. This has nothing to do with my message. But I want you to see this. Because if you're here today and you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never come to that place in your life where you realize Jesus Christ died, not for the world, even though He did, but He died for you. Amen. Okay. If there had only been one on the face of this globe, if I had only been the one, if you had been the only one, Jesus Christ would still have stepped out of heaven for me. And that morning when I got saved, there were hundreds upon multiplied hundreds in that main auditorium. Easter Sunday morning, 1970, probably 8,000 in church in Canton, Ohio that day. But as I stood there, it was just me and God. So just because you say, I don't want to be saved, I just don't want to have anything to do with that. I even wonder why I came to church this morning. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 10. I just want to read this verse, and it's the latter part of it. Because Pastor made that comment after we sang 1 Timothy 4:10, yes. He made that comment, you know what? Your knee's going to bow to Jesus Christ one day. Now my suggestion, and I wholeheartedly make this suggestion to you, you better bow it now as Savior. Make Him your Savior. Make Him your friend. Make Him your Lamb, Exodus chapter 12. Make Him your pilot. Make Him your good night to pilot. He owns the whole airline. I know we sing, He's my pilot. He's more than my pilot. Amen. He built the plane. Amen. He paid for the airline. And then He breathed the air that keeps the plane up in the air. I never fly. I don't fly often, truth be told. But when I do, I make sure when I get in that plane, I say, Lord, I know very little about aerodynamics. So you better keep your hand under this plane so we get to our destination. If anybody sinned against you, I ask you to forgive them right now. Hope this pilot didn't sin against you today. Hope you're not mad at the pilot or the co-pilot. I know the stewardess is all pretty, but somebody didn't sin against you in this place. Look at verse number 10. For therefore we both labor. I just want you to see the latter part of the verse. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. 1 Timothy 4:10. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. You see, today He's specially my Savior. But just because you have entrusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that does not nullify the fact He's still the Savior. You just haven't accepted Him as your Savior. The old bumper sticker that used to say, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. That's dumb. That's wrong. God said it. That settles it, all right? Whether you believe it or not, God wants you to believe it. But just because you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning does not nullify the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And I bowed my knee 43 years ago. And I will bow my knee humbly here, physically, spiritually, it's bowed. I will not have to bow my knee in judgment on that great white throne day. But listen to me. There's a negative and a positive to every battery in every car. Don't worry about that bug, I'll eat it. A little protein's good for you every once in a while. Jesus Christ, you either bow your knee here or you'll bow it as judge. You see, He's not my judge. You know, He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to save the world. But He is a judge. That's one of His offices. He is a judge. So one day you're going to bow your knee. And I want to say this to you just as best as I can. Boy, you need to accept Him today. I don't know where you're at. I sat in church for 17 years. You talk about the long suffering of God. This man sat in church. Some of you sat in church actually where the gospel was preached. I did. I sat in a good one. A good one. I'm old enough, I'm going to start saying things and let it fly. You may have been through the academy. You may be, your daddy may be the pastor. Your uncle may be a deacon. I'm happy for you. But that's not going to get you into heaven. It's the blood of Jesus Christ and what you do with it this morning that's going to get you into heaven. All right. I just preached 8 messages and I haven't even done the right one yet. Let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll get going here today. Father, I want to thank you this morning that many years ago, by faith in Jesus Christ, somebody opened a Bible. Somebody was faithfully preaching it that morning and teaching it. And I came by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. I didn't go to church that morning intending to trust Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. But that morning I got a permanent reservation to come to your table simply because I accepted Jesus Christ. You gave me a permanent reservation. And then you gave me just an open opportunity to always come and dine. You made me one of your sons by faith in Jesus Christ. That could happen for somebody today, Father. But Lord, we've opened our Bibles. And Lord, I never open it that I go away hungry. Father, I'm asking you to feed your sheep, your people, this morning. Lord, I don't know what I need most of the time, if not all the time. So you can meet every need. You can satisfy every sorrow. You can put joy in every broken heart. If only we would let you this morning. So, Father, do that which only you can do and be pleased, and I will absolutely be satisfied. And we pray these things in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. We are going to continue this morning, Lord willing. Go to 1 Corinthians now. I have been talking about the ministry. Put it together with, I started in the book of Exodus a long time ago, and there were things that were said in Exodus, and we got into the ministry. What is the ministry? And we started to look at 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians is a troubled, it's both 1st and 2nd. 2nd, he kind of puts the salve over the problem. That had been their problem in 1 Corinthians, the entire book. But 15 chapters of bad conduct, completely bad conduct. Can I take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Now, they had doctrine. Most of their doctrine was twisted somehow, or they were just abandoning the doctrine that they knew to be true. And it was the church was still in its infancy at this time, but these Corinthian believers, with a large city, a city of commerce, city of wealth, entertainment, probably much like New York City. But Paul had to reprove them. Many times he rebuked them. It was like an open charge to the face. But reproving them is, I mean, it's one thing to blame something. It's another thing to fix something. And in 1 Corinthians, the reproof has to do with correction, instruction by way of correction. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and just verse number 8, he says, if I can just read the verse from where it's at, who shall also confirm you, preceding verse, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless, blameless, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the judgment seat of Christ. So this was not the day, he wasn't talking about the day of the Lord here. He wasn't talking about the great white throne judgment. He was talking about their conduct that was that was, they were not blameless, and it was going to cost them something at the judgment seat of Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians with me, and I want you to look at another thing that Paul says. Now, he begins in 2 Corinthians, he begins to pour some salve over the wounds. He begins to let the Spirit of God use him to do some healing. Obviously, we know that, I think it was 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they had to remove a man from their own midst. Now listen to me. They had to remove a man from their own midst that was having intimate relationship with his stepmother, all right, his father's wife. And Paul said, the Gentiles are not even living like you live. So it's possible. You keep something in mind. My brother Pat Michon, you said something, and you're not completely saved today. If you're saved, your spirit's been quickened, your soul's been redeemed, but I still have an old sin nature that I inherited from my mother and father, splash, 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 all the way back through the flood, all the way back to Adam. And I can feed that black dog, and he will eat alive, the white dog, all right? And I'll end up going to heaven, but I'll go there broke. I don't know how that whole thing is going to work. I've got my own ideas. But I remember going to Madison Square Garden when we first got here to watch the Knicks. And none of us knew anything about Madison Square Garden. And somebody got us some tickets. And those tickets were way, 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 way. I had my back against the wall at the very top of the garden. I'm supposed to be watching these basketball players. They look like ants. Now, I don't know if heaven's going to have cheap seats. Okay? But I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't enjoy that ball game at all. I didn't enjoy the game. I didn't eat anything. Things were doing on and on. I don't want to get to heaven. And I know I'm using a crazy illustration. I don't want to get to heaven and God say, I'm going to relegate you to the cheap seats. I got in, so they were not blameless. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. We're going to talk about charity again this morning. And the new Bibles take the word charity out, 1 Corinthians 13. We'll talk about this in a moment. But the new Bibles take the word charity out. Your King James that you have in your hands, hopefully, still has the word charity in it. Because love is a person. Love is a person. You know what the Bible tells me? And I'm going to stay within the framework of the Bible. I'm obligated to do that because I'm Christian, all right? Stay within a framework. If you're a visitor here, you have to understand something. We don't have a catechism to give you. We don't have a hierarchy in Albany or Rome or wherever, that tells me what I'm supposed to say. The only thing we have in this place is a Bible. A Bible. And as I started to read it, I kept coming across two words. God said, God said, God said, God said. It's like, whoa, God wants to talk to me? Yeah, God said. All right. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at verse number 3. If I could just read 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Parenthetical thought is 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Today is the day of your salvation, by the way, friends. Today. You say, I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, some people left for work. 2001. A whole bunch of people. Some people got on some planes. They didn't make it. My suggestion to you, you don't have a tomorrow. You better do it today. 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 Time, eternity is settled today. All right? Look what verse 2 says. Giving no offense in anything. Now, he's talking about behavior here. Now, we don't talk a lot about behavior, but the Bible does talk a lot about behavior. And sometimes it gets very generic in its explanation, tells women to be modest in their apparel. That's got nothing to do with my message. I've come to realize something. I've been reading this Bible for 43 years. You don't need to tell me how to live. You know why? I know how to live. That book has borne witness to my own spirit over and over and over. And every once in a while somebody will say something. But I've come to the conclusion after 43 years of being saved and very soon after that starting to try to and growing and ministering to other people as they ministered to me. If somebody's reading the Bible sitting in this church for any length of time, you want to know something? You know exactly how to live. You know exactly. And if you don't want to do it, if you don't, it's your choice. But listen to me, beloved. I ain't going to sit in the cheap seats. I want to be like that little lad with the lunch, right, with probably at least 10,000 people thronged around the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had to be very, very close, as I said that last message, very, very close, because they picked him out immediately. A little lad. Now, if you want to sit in the cheap seats, your business. I know we've talked about old First Bible Church. We're going to gather over in the left corner. Well, maybe some of First Bible Church is not going to make it. Oh, God help us. God, you know what? To think that some of you aren't going to be in heaven. I'd scare the hell out of you. Hell's a Bible word. I can use it. Really? We've had fellowship. We've laughed together. We've prayed together. You might even sit in a prayer room. I did all those things for 17 years. And just blew God off every service. That scares me. I say, Lord, please, these folks that you've given to two men, to under-shepherd and deacon teachers, to lead in this place, oh Lord, don't let anybody in First Bible Church, don't let anybody come through those doors and go out unsaved. Please, God. Please, Father. Because he's the Savior of all men. Especially those that believe. All right. He might not be special to you this morning. Look at verse number 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. All right, I'm going to shift into another gear here because time is of the essence. All right. You know what I want to talk about this morning? That 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about charity. Because those believers were not blameless. Those believers, go to 1 Corinthians 13 with me now. Those believers in Corinth, Paul had to reprove them. Paul had to instruct them, had to correct them, had to rebuke them. Because in all of their conduct, and it wasn't that they didn't. They were taking the Lord's table. But they were doing it unworthily. Every one of those chapters, I'll go through them. Chapter 1, there was divisions. You just listen to me. Chapter 1, he had to correct divisions and contentions. Chapter 2, They were enamored by worldly intellect. I think everybody ought to graduate at least from the sixth grade. And we've got PhDs in this place. And I take my hat off to you. We've got master's degrees in this place. And that's why I like to hang around you, because you're so smart. But you could be the smartest person in the world and yet dumb toward God. They were enamored. Greeks, seek after wisdom. Our city, intellectual, most intellectual city in the entire world. That's what we're noted for, our intellect and our money. Most intellectual city in the whole world has been stupefied by religion. Our beloved New York City is dumb toward God, because they won't read a Bible. You thank God you read it. You came to a saving knowledge. Chapter 3, they had carnality. Somebody would say, well, you mean they were smoking and they were doping and you know, chewing and going with girls who doing and all that kind of stuff? No, that wasn't their carnality. Their carnality was envy, strife, and divisions, and hero worship. That was their carnality. Envy, strife, and divisions. Now, I'm going to just say this as one of the teaching elders here, one of the pastors. If you are determined to put envy, strife, and divisions out of this place, don't come back. When you leave after this service, please don't come back. And we want you here. Either get your heart right or leave. All right? Because envy, strife, and division has no place in the family of God. No place. So I suggest you repent of it this morning. That's about the second smile you got out of me this morning. And I'm reminding myself, got to smile more. People think you're mad at them. Carnality. Chapter 4, lack of respect for leadership. Chapter 5, sexual fornication. Right in the midst of the congregation. And Paul had to take that man and throw him out, because they wouldn't deal with it. Behavior. Minor issues in chapter 6 that escalated to major controversies. Chapter 7 talks about fidelity to marriage, because they had marriage all messed up. Chapter 8 talks about personal liberty that wounds a weak conscience. They didn't care about their brother at all. Yeah. Chapter 9, they didn't know how to take care of their leaders. They weren't helping their leaders live properly, just physically. Chapter 10, they became selfish. The word all, you know, it appears, I said, 14 times in chapter 10. They were selfish. Chapter 11, they had a disregard for divine order. I'm not teaching any of this. This is all review. Can't do, had no time to do it. Chapter 13, they were missing the key ingredient in chapter 13. Chapter 13 is our charity. 15 chapters, the last chapter 16, Paul kind of changes the gear completely. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But 15 chapters of wrong behavior, charity, the working out of love between the brethren. God is love. That's a vertical thing. And I'm going to say this, and I know some of you aren't going to accept it. You don't know how to love until you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. My pastor said something. I say it a lot in weddings. I don't know who I stole. Probably Mel. I stole everything from Mel Sabaka most of the time. It's not a big deal. It's a lot of good stuff. Don't you realize? You always steal something. Do you know there's no new message under the sun? You're preaching somebody else's messages. Every time him and I get in this pulpit, one of you get in this pulpit, you're stealing something from God. It's truth. So it's like, give me something new. It's nothing new. Let me tell you an old story. It's the old story that you need to hear. All right. And I just lost my train of thought, and that's good, all right? Chapter 13, we were talking about chapter 13. He gave us 15 positions of charity. So for 15 problematic chapters, he gave the correction to the problem, 15 things in chapter 13. And he called them charity. Love being vertical. Charity being horizontal. You want to know how to be a good husband, wife? Want to know how to be a good church member? Good member of the body of Christ? Good man, good woman, good Christian? And this is what bothers me sometimes about Bible believers. And we talk about Bible believers all the time. When we say that, we mean those who adhere to the King James Bible. And I say amen, yes. But you want to know something? That does not necessarily make you a Bible believer. You got to do what this book says. I'm glad you've got a King James Version in your hands. I had one in my hands before you were even saved. But that doesn't necessarily make you a good Christian. Okay? You got to be able to do. You got to be able to incorporate these things. 15 things. And if you read them, it's almost like a Sunday school lesson. Every time I read them, I say, that's kind of childish. Kindness. You have to tell an adult to be kind? That's what you tell a five-year-old. Well, you know what that tells me? I act like a five-year-old most of the time. Amen. Okay? And by the way, so do you. We act like five-year-olds. Many times I get into heated, you know, doing this with my wife, and she stands there just like a sweet, meek and quiet spirit. Drives me crazy. And I'm going on, and the hands are going, and you know. Every time somebody beeps a horn out in front of 17 Sherritt because the light didn't turn green in time and the guy didn't move in time, I want to take my tire iron out of my trunk and redesign his hood. And I tell her that. The horn wasn't designed to move the car. The pedal on the right was designed to move the car. You know what she says to me? Are you done? You happy now? Finished? Yeah, I'm happy. I got to vent a little bit. You know, but she looks at me and she says, where's that verse in the Bible, book of Ephesians? Be ye kind, one to another. You see, I'm a Bible believer. Oh, yeah, I'm a Bible believer. Oh, yeah. I've had it under my belt for 43 years. But that doesn't necessarily make you a Bible believer. You got to be a Bible practicer. Charity. Charity. What does charity do within the body of Christ? I want you to go to the last chapter. I'm now going to get you to 16 and we're going to read. All right. What does charity do? We are a church that if you come here any length of time, it's not that we pride ourselves on this, but this is the right way to do it. I hope you didn't come here for entertainment, because if you did, you have been disappointed this morning. This is a place where you're going to learn the Bible. It's how we were trained. It's how the men before us were trained. It's how we train you. All right? But what does charity? Because there's got to be this balance. Because Paul puts a great emphasis on charity. And Bible believers have a tendency to be a little hardcore. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different kinds. But the ones I've been around over the years, and sometimes I've actually gravitated away from the older I've gotten, because they have a tendency to be a little hardcore. And when you bring up charity, it's like, oh, you're becoming a Pentecostal. You're becoming a little soft in your doctrine. No, I'm actually becoming more solidified in my doctrine. Okay, I'm actually wanting to take things that I read and maybe missed. So charity, so how do we behave ourselves among ourselves? Or to the world, as far as that means. What charity does, I want to look at this. Look at within the body of Christ. That's this local church, all right, that we have right here, right now. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I want you to look at... I'll start reading with 12. It says, as touching our brother Apollos, 13:16. You with me? Now, we got some younger Christians in here, so let me just slow myself down. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, that's a behavior, be strong. Now watch, look at verse 14. Because Paul, back in 1 Corinthians 13, said there was nothing greater than charity. There was nothing greater than taking what Jesus Christ did in your life and walking it. Walking it. Walking it. Walk it in your school. Very tough to do. We've got some high school, grade school children here. Not saying this is easy. Don't you ever think that we paint this thing as easy. You're going to take hard to the grave. But you're going to take joy too. But don't think it ever gets easier. It's a hard thing, all right? Because you have constant opposition around you all the time. It's like you ever watch the salmon swimming upstream? You know, spawning time, I guess. They're swimming upstream. I mean, they know they've got to get to a certain place. And man, they're constantly swimming. And then all of a sudden you see this big grizzly bear. And he's standing right in the middle because he knows that's where the food is at. And it's all of a sudden, woof, you see that 1,100-pound grizzly, woof, woof, and he's got one in his hand, got two in his hand, he's pulling flesh out, you know. But you know what that salmon still does? That salmon's focused. That salmon's getting to the place where they know they got to spawn and they got to be, all right? Look at verse, he says, let all things be done with charity. Those 15 things, and in the months to come, or in the weeks to come, I should say, we're going to just try to go through them. Because I'm going to look at something. I've got four things. I know what time it is. I have my watch. Doesn't mean anything, but I have it. First time I read this as a babe in Christ, I thought, what a strange word to put in the Bible. You have a word in verse number 15 that only appears one time in your Bible, in a King James, only one time, and it's in verse 15. In our culture today, what a strange word. Almost like an evil word. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and watch what it says here. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The ministry of the saints is not only giving people the love of God, but the ministry of the saints is charity among the believers, so that some new babe in Christ and some older people in Jesus Christ can see the manifestation of what you claim to be talking about. Because if I have no manifestation of what I claim to believe, then my words are vain. They're tinkling. They're just beating on the door. That's all it is. I must have charity. The way Paul fixed the Corinthian problem was just mind-boggling to me. He told them, well, be more long-suffering. And be kind, and don't envy, and 15 other things. And I'm saying, does that really fix? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what fixes problems. If you and I will just keep charity, I believe charity is here, but it can leave in a heartbeat. And all it takes is somebody who does not want to be charitable. And somehow that changes the dynamic within a congregation. Pastor and I were told of two churches. While we were visiting with Brother Joe Silvestri, told us of one. Then Pastor told me, I will not name names. They are Bible-believing churches. King James, held way up here. But you know, one of those churches is pretty much going to close the doors probably in a very short period of time. Because the congregation and some deacons who had their doctrine correct, but they did not have charity among themselves, and they started to bite and devour each other. They thought they knew more than the pastor. On. Another one last night. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. And if you would check their doctrine, you'd say, whoo, they got their doctrine right. But somewhere along the line, something has gone amiss. All right? And Paul fixed a church, attempted to fix a church by 1 Corinthians 13. And when you read those things, you'll say, wow, that really sounds pretty simple. I believe the greatest ways that man or God corrects things is simple things. I will never forget when my dad tried to teach me auto mechanics. He was a backyard auto mechanic. I'd get there and he'd show me the tools. But then I got to be 16, I got my own car, and I had a part-time job, and I went to high school, and I dated Deborah, and we got in this car, and I was always repairing something, fixing it. But I'll never forget. I'd say, Pop, you know, the thing won't start. I need to pull the engine. He'd say, what? Have you learned nothing from me? He'd say, get in and turn the key. And all of a sudden, he'd look, I'd see his head under, you know, I'd see his head there and the roof of the hood of the car is up. And he'd say, turn it over. And all of a sudden, he'd realize, you got two plug wires that are loose. And he'd put those plug wires back on. He'd say, try it again. And away we go. But you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to pull the engine. Don't pull the engine, folks. Don't pull the engine. 9 times out of 10, it's real something simple. I need to be more kind. I'm trying to be long. I'm trying. You know, somebody says, have you arrived? Are you kidding me? Where Paul said, I have learned. You know where he said that? He said that right before they took his head off in a Roman prison. I've learned whatsoever state I am. Do you realize that's a prison epistle? I told anybody who will listen to me, I don't say I have learned. I am learning. I am learning. I'll take I am learning right to the people that are going to cremate me. I am learning. Addicted. Look what it says there in 16. I wanted you to read 16. That ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Let all things be done with charity. You know what charity? Can I take you to Romans chapter 14? Now, I'm not going to teach on Romans. Pastors, that is pastors where he's at. But there's some verses that just are very important. Go to Romans chapter 14. Let me give you the first thing, Romans chapter 14, what charity does within a body of believers. Now, you're in the church house. If you're a visitor here this morning, we say this frequently. Every born-again believer is a member of the body of Christ. That is the church. The church is not this building. This is simply the building where the church comes together. All right? Now, other denominations, they don't recognize that. It's like, and I know what we say, we're going to church. Well, in a very real sense, we are, because we're going to meet together. So when we talk about the church, about the body of Christ, we're talking about how do I help you this morning? I want to help you. I want to be helped. Go to Romans 14 and look at verses 15 and 19. Romans 14, 15 and 19. But if thy brother be grieved, is everybody with me? Maybe I go too fast. I want to slow down. Romans 14, 15, and 19. 14, 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, so I am doing something. I have a behavior, and we know that this chapter is on liberty, and pastor's teaching that. My conduct has to be such that it advances you onto Jesus Christ. My conduct, I can talk about loving God all I want, but my conduct that you can see either advances you onto God or it retards you in your growth. And I want to say this to all of us of any age. If you're doing something that's questionable, that the world says amen to, you need to stop it. Because you are not advancing me onto God. You are retarding my growth because I watch you. You say you shouldn't watch me. Get out of town, man. Back the horse up. We watch each other. And my Bible tells me I'm supposed to. The Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. I watched people. And I came to the conclusion of some of them, that boy, it pays to serve Jesus Christ. There's nobody higher, greatest, highest. Why take second best when I can have the greatest, highest? Then I got around some people that, you mean I can do that? Get away with it? Oh yeah, God will let you get away with things. He doesn't always collect his debts in October. But you know what I came to the conclusion? I want to advance somebody on in their growth. I don't want to retard them. All right, let me get back where I need to be. Romans 15, 14, 15. Now watch what it says. If my brother be grieved with thy meat, now watch what it says. Now walkest thou not charitably. It's a walk. It's a behavior. I'm not telling you anything. What to do, how to do it, when to do it, you know, how many times, how high to jump. Here's what I would hope you would do. We would hope you would do. Because this will work. Read your Bible. If God can't convict you, why should I even try? And if I convict you, you want to know something? It won't last very long. But if God shows you something from His Word, you'll be changed forever. Oh, the one-third that's not saved will always want to eat the white dog, you know. But you want to know something? Stay in the book. You start building good patterns. You know what the house of Stephanus did? I think it was Stephanus, maybe I read it wrong. Back there in 1 Corinthians. They had addicted themselves. Do you know when somebody becomes an addict? Is when they repeat, then when they repeat, and then repeat, they get addicted. We've got folks, we deal with you got them in your family. My 14-year-old nephew was a drunk, was an alcoholic at 14, Mikey. Half the time they didn't know where he was at. He'd be gone for days. 14 years old, Canton, Ohio. I was around that boy. He couldn't even see straight. He couldn't talk straight. If you put him in that chair, he'd fall out of it. 14 years old. And then he met a little West Virginia sweetie who was actually saved. Fell in love with her. And she said, if you want me, you give up the drugs and give up the booze. And his love for her was just great enough that he weaned himself off of it. But you know, Mikey didn't become an alcoholic the first time he took a swig of Jack Daniels. It took the second swig, and then the third. And then he adopted a taste for it. He got a taste for it. Addictions come in all forms. Pills, booze, sex. You know what I was addicted to? I'll tell you. Me. I wish I could take my head and put it in your head sometimes to get you just to fathom just a little bit. Nobody was better than me. I lived for it. I breathed for it. When I bought something, it had to be the best, the fastest, the prettiest. And then I came to the realization, you want to know something? That's not going to get me into heaven. And Jesus Christ took that selfishness, me. But truth be told, I fight that still every day because one-third's not saved. And the only way I get victory over it is to stay in this book. I've told you, I know I read the Bible because I want to, but I don't read it because I want to. I read it because I have to. Because I will retard speedily without that book, because that's God. Addictions. Do you know what it said? It says there, it says charity. If I can go back there and just read it, Romans 14, 15, and down to 19. Let me read 19. I don't think I got there. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace. 15 says, walk in charity. Thou walkest not charitably. You know what charity does within the body of Christ? Look at 19. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. You know what charity does? Charity builds up the believer. Those 15 things in 1 Corinthians 13 build us. Make for peace. Charity makes for peace within the body, results in the edification of one another. It's a great phrase in your King James, one another. Do you remember Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9? The Lord asked Cain after he had slain Abel. He said to Cain, where is thy brother? Cain answered, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Do you know what the answer to that question is? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Amen. Yes, you are. Amen. We're not going to dance around that. We never have, and we're not going to start dancing around that. You are your brother's keeper. You affect me. and I affect you. It bears repeating in my mind right now. Stephanie Spinelli, you affected me. I know I'm embarrassing you. That's okay. I'm old enough to be your father or grandfather. I don't know. Friend. You know what she did? She affected me. I was sick. Shingles, eye, nose. Crazy, man. Sat in the darkness for 3 weeks. Didn't want to talk to my wife because the pain was just... And you know what? That little lady back there went beyond herself and advanced me on to God. And in my own little pity party, God said, "What are you whining about? Somebody's actually listening to you." Because sometimes you walk out of this place, I don't know, maybe you're not like me. It's like, is anybody really listening to us, brother? I used to do that with my kids. Are you really listening? Oh, yeah, I'm listening. Oh, yeah. I heard you, Pop. I heard you. Am I my brother's keeper? Look at chapter 15. Look at chapter 15 and verse number 1 through 3 of Romans. The answer to the question lies in chapter 15, verse 1 through 3. Am I my brother's keeper? What does charity do? Charity makes peace within the body. Now, doctrine is our foundation, absolutely necessary. But the application, the living out of what we believe is going to make peace. Because I know churches that have their doctrine right, that they're about ready to close their doors. Because somebody got sidetracked with something. Somebody wanted to rebuild the engine when the old man said, "You just had the wires off the spark plug, son. Don't rip the engine apart. Check something simple." I try to do that in my own life. It's like, you know what? I could have missed something along the way. Look at Romans 15, 1 through 3. "We then that are strong, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. Yes, you are. We then that are strong not to bear the infirmities of the weak." Wow, what a statement. This is what God said to me that morning. And not to please ourselves. He said, "You're not God. I am." Not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Our goal should be to build you up, advance you onward into this Christian faith. That's why we say this place is not a museum. It's not a warehouse. It's a hospital. We're trying to take God's word, minister it to our hearts and yours, so that God can do some healing in people's lives. Save the soul, heal the soul, and then heal the life. Look at 3. "For even Christ, the great example." Why should I even care about this? "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Charity builds us. Now go to Colossians. I'm running out of time, but not completely. Not completely. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Charity builds us. But I find something else about charity. We want to be built. We want to be advanced on. Charity builds us. We get our foundation solid on the doctrines of God's Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 14. There's something about charity that is just marvelous, and it's said in this verse. If you look at verse number 14, once again, just it can be dangerous, but sometimes it's necessary to just, because the verse can stand about all by itself. 3:14 says, "And above all things, put on charity." So this is something that I have, just like salvation, whosoever will I make a choice every morning. I either put on charity or decide that that day I don't like the garment. Let me go out and put my ball peen hammer right in the hood of that guy's car. And the blessed type of the Holy Spirit, because a woman's not only type of the church, she's a type of the Holy Spirit of God, she stands there very quietly and says, "Are you finished?" "No, I'm not finished." "Well, you should be." 3:14. "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Put on charity, a bond. There's many definitions, but one that applies here. The bond is something that holds things together. Charity is the glue. Doctrine is the foundation. Charity is the glue that binds my faith to other believers. That's why this place... So, charity builds us, but charity also binds us together. Let me tell you what. If we stop being charitable to each other, this place is going to empty out. And I don't want that to happen. My pastor doesn't. Neither do you. Do you know how special this place is? Oh, please. I mean, I'd like to just tell you sometimes how special this place is. Don't ever take the fact that we're together as a church. Because there's churches like us all across this nation that are padlocking. They're emptying out. And they had their doctrine right. But they lost the charitable love. They lost that thing of taking the love of God and putting it on the table so we all could eat of it, all right? Chapter 3, verse 14, which is the bond. Charity is the glue. Quickly go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1 and verse number 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, and look at verse 3. We find the word charity there again. Charity not only builds us, edifies us, advances us, but charity also binds us. It builds us, but it also binds us. Look at verse number 3. We are bound to thank God always. I'm in 2 Thessalonians. If I didn't say that, I apologize. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And now somebody's faith is growing exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you, every one of you this morning, all, every one of you all, toward each other, man, he's just going on here, aboundeth. The charity that we have toward each other will bind us, will bind us. The long-suffering, the kindness. Name them all. Okay, they're all there in 1 Corinthians 13. Here's another one. Can I take it to 1 Peter chapter 4? Charity not only builds us. Charity not only binds us together. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. First Peter chapter 4, and verse 8. I'll read verse 7. Amazing thing to put together here, really. Verse 7 says, Peter writes, Spirit of God, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. 8. And above all things... Above all things, Hab. He just said, the end's getting near. It's at hand. Sober up. Get your wits about you. Pay attention. Get clear-headed. Get clear-hearted. Watch. Get on your hands and knees and pray. But then he says, and above all these things, have fervent. It's like a fire. Have fervent charity. Look what it says there again. Among yourselves. This isn't just a couple of guys and their wives trying to be charitable to each other. This is all of us. If you've been saved 1 minute, you can do this. Among ourselves. For charity shall cover, oh man, the multitude of sins. You know what charity does? Charity balances us. Fran Krupe gave me this verse, Psalm 119, 165. She was not only my sister in Christ, but she was my friend, as she was yours too. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. My wife's got one in Ecclesiastes 10:4, talks about yielding pacifieth great offenses. You know what charity does? Doctrine can be hard. You know what charity does? Charity gives you the balance. Charity, I said it. I know churches that their doctrine is right and they're way out of balance. Sometimes they've got charity and the doctrine's bad. But the key is balance. 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 Let me give you the last one. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Peter was asked the Lord, when my brother offends me, how oft shall I... Now, you've got to read that. I won't go there, but go to Matthew 18:22 and you'll read this. He said to the Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother? But then he didn't let the Lord answer. He kind of gave his answer to God. He said, how oft shall my brother offend me and I forgive him? Seven times? Seven times. I think I can do seven. Yeah. I think I muster up seven. No, I couldn't, but Peter was a better man than I am. Seven times? And the Lord said, Pete, you haven't been paying attention, have you? You've been with me all these years, and you haven't been paying attention. Or you would have never said that. He said, try 70 times 7. That's 490. And if you go back into the Old Testament in Acts chapter 13, you'll find why Jesus said 70 times 7, 490. Because that was a period of time when he was long-suffering. He was being charitable with Israel. You see, God never asks you to do something he hasn't already done in the personage of Jesus Christ. You know what? You know what charity does? Charity gives me my balance. Charity gives me my balance when somebody has trespassed against me, sinned against me. You know what my Bible tells me? If he never asks forgiveness or she never asks forgiveness, what am I supposed to do? Withhold my forgiveness? No, I'm going to be honest with you. My Bible tells me I'm to forgive. You know why? Because Jesus Christ forgave me. Amen. How dare I? I don't care. And I've got stuff in my life just like you got stuff in your life. That stop playing the game. And start being charitable in this place. Okay? And I'm not mad at you, and you know I'm not. But if I'm going to wait on somebody to say they're sorry or ask my forgiveness What if that never happens? Do I just with, is my forgiveness to them contingent upon what they say to me? No, that's not how God did for me. God said, I'll forgive you. I saved you when you hated me. You see? You know what you got to do? I said this to Brother Mike Tricardo back there, our police officer back there when I was discipling him. I said, Brother, you have to filter everything through Jesus Christ. That person on the other side of that filter, without that filter, I don't like that person. But now you've got to put Jesus Christ in the middle. Jesus Christ has got to be the filter of how you live, how you conduct yourself, how we behave. Glory to Jesus is right. Last one. I know I'm late. Holy moly. I got to move. You know how I am. I can take 4 points and be here for 4 days. All right. You know those dear ladies? Those dear ladies sitting there. You come from Hollis, Queens, right?
Howard Beach,
I'm sorry. Howard Beach. That dear soul right there comes to our church from Howard Beach. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I came. Pastor Mike and I and our wives came across the parking lot. And we couldn't even be here on time. When he gets in this pulpit, when I get in this pulpit, when one of our guys is up here leading music, preaching, or preaching and leading music and doing them both like we always do, we don't want you to go hungry. We don't want you to go home hungry. That person came from Howard Beach. My sister and her family came from Howard Beach, all the way down here to Staten Island, way down to the tip, just to hear about Jesus Christ. Yes. Come on, clap. I hope you didn't go home hungry, baby. I hope you did, because that would be sad. Go to 3 John. Go to 3 John. Chapter. Yeah, there's no chapter. There's only one chapter. I'll get my Bible right one of these days. You guys just be patient with me. Go to 3 John. Look at verses 4 through 6. Charity will build us. Charity will bind us. Charity will balance us. Jesus told Peter, I've 490 times, because I was long-suffering with Israel. You forgive like I forgive. Don't hold grudges. Don't expect something out of somebody else. Just love them to death and forgive them. Pick yourself up and move on. Man, oh man. 3 John 4 through 6, reading, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is the beloved elder John, the apostle John, writing in verse number 1, the elder. But he says, I in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. Now watch here. Thou doest, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which, verse 6 is where the key to this in my thought here, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Born witness of thy charity. Charity can be seen. Charity not only builds, charity binds, charity balances, and charity bears witness. If a man love God, Paul wrote in Corinthians, the same is known of him. How do I know somebody loves God? I got to see their charity. I got to see it. You have to see it from me. I have to see it from you. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. 4 simple points. And let me say this to anybody, and we're going to pray. If you came in here, I didn't necessarily preach the gospel to you. But you want to know something? Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. You need to go from the Jesus Christ as the Savior of all men. You need to walk across the aisle this morning and you need to say, I want to make Him special to me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.